We're holding today at Daf Samech Tet, and we were all the way at the top of the Daf. And let us just review what exactly is going on over here. And remember, we were trying to bring a raya that both the Kohenet on the Bat Kohen on the one side, and also the Bat Yisrael and the Bat Levi, will all be nifsalot when it comes to the Kuhuna and when it comes to Truma. So in other words, whether the Bat Kohen would be Shayach to Truma because of Beit Aviyah, if going back, or the Bat Yisrael would have, let's say, a child, and that child would be Machil her Truma from her once her erstwhile husband, the Kohen, that in a case where she was nivelet to Apostola, that there then would be that she could not eat that Truma, and not only that, she would also be Psula the Kuhuna. So the reason that we got to this, of course, is because ultimately the Mishnah says later, and we ended up understanding by Rabbah that that's the pshat here as well, and then we brought the Braita, that three-way machlokas. So far we've only discussed the first way, but wherever there was a bia to someone that was posula, so that would, ti eliyizar, we darshan ti eliyizar, she sleeps with a guy who is a zar to her, even though we had many other things to learn from that, but we ended up having a posik for each one of those things. And the bottom line was that ubat kohen adds also the extra words, or the extra vot, and the Rabbi Akiva, the whole thing was extra, adds also that bat Yisrael and a bat Levi also becomes TLA Yisar, Yibetrum and Akodashim Lotokal. Then we bring a raya from a Gerishin, a Grusha, that if you can't eat Truma, then for sure you're in the cell. But it was a Grusha, it's a cell, but couldn't still eat Truma. So that's an indication that the indicator, the most fundamental indicator of the Kashas, the Kuhuna, is the Achilas Truma. If you can't eat Truma, then for sure you're not going to be Kashas, the Kuhuna. And therefore, when it says, we know that she's Psula, the Kuhuna. That's what we ended up saying yesterday. The only thing that was a little problematic was that Kitiyeh might have meant, I mean, an Izar, rather, might have meant maybe only something really off the wall, like the Mr. Karek. So therefore, the Torah said, no, Tiyah means to tell me that even with a Shayach Kiddushin, Shayach Kiddushin means that there's Yisrei Lavim. Look at Rabbi Akiva later. But it means even with there's Yisrei Lavim, that she's still going to be Nifsalot. The question was, however, that analysis leaves out Eved and Averis Kechavim, because he is not Kiddushin at all. So they're in a different set. It's not part of the set. It's not Shayach Kechlau Havaya. Then that means that a Pasuk that's indicating, even though it was Shayach Havaya, that it's still going to pass you. But the set of those who are Asurim without Havaya are not under discussion here. In which case, we have no reason to believe that the Bia of an Eved or an Ovid Kilkovim would cause a Psula Gavi Kuna. Maybe it's not Kadosh enough, really, to register. Just like not necessarily would it create Bamzerotim. It's a Machloket, as we saw. So for that, we had to bring an extra Pasuk, and that was a Diyak, and that's what we're holding now, from the word Almana Ugrusha. The Tiyah Almanav Grusha implies that the whole halacha of going back to her father with the incidental implications that, but until this point she couldn't eat and so on, all of that is discussing a type of relationship where she could be an Almana Ugrusha. But if she couldn't be an Almana Ugrusha, meaning that there's no possibility of marriage at all under any circumstance, under which she's dealing with a person where there is no Almanut or Gerushin, such as an evident of a Gerushin, then this whole process doesn't apply at all. And then she will not go back to Beit Aviyah. Now, you can see the loose screw in that. Because when we were talking about Izar yesterday, and we said Kitiyeh, the implications of Kitiyeh is that it defines a set. The set being those with whom Kiddushin is a possibility, but that in this particular case it's illicit, and therefore it's possible. So we asked, but the set of those where Kiddushin is impossible is thereby excluded from this discussion. Yet when we come along and we say Almanah Grusha, it's basically saying the same thing. It's saying Almanah Grusha, we're talking about the set of those people with whom Almanut and Gerushin is possible. So then basically, I mean, we're back where we started from. Okay, exactly. But an Eben and Avik Ephraim was not possible, not under discussion. And therefore we're not talking about it. I mean, it could mean the other direction. It could be maybe, no, an Eben of Ephraim doesn't bother us. Even if she had a child, it wouldn't bother us. Because that's not the set we're dealing with. You see, now that is a tremendous loose screw. Because that was the only reason that we raised the issue in the first place. We said that the Kitiyeh implies the definition of what people were talking about. Not only what case possibles, but rather what is the set of possible cases that we can take a case from in order to possible here, correct? We said, those cases don't include an Eved and an Ovid Kechavim. So by the same token, when we get to the word Almanah Grusha, it means the same thing. What set of people are we talking about that we have to worry whether Zera Yeshla or Zera Ela? The set of people with whom Almanah Grusha is possible. Exactly. So forget about now the Eved. This is indeed today's the Gemara's Kasha.
How you couldn't make based on the logical definition that it's possible that they care less about those?
An anti-kavachal mitzvah. Yes, that is exactly the question the Gemara is asking right now. The Ema, says the Gemara, on the seventh line. The Ema, why don't we just turn around and say that on the contrary? What the Pasuk is implying is, Mi sheyesh lo almanut v'gerushin ba. It's saying, the set of cases in which almanut and gerushin is possible is hereby limited to cases where zera ein la. And therefore, im yesh la zera. So in that case, there's a limitation. We have to take a look if there's a child. So only ki let le zera ka achla, but ki le zera lo achla. Fine. But in any other set of cases, namely, the Eved and the Ovid Kechavim, where there is no almanut or gerushin as possible, so misha ein lo almanut or gerushin ba, then the criteria of zera, whether yesh or ein, is irrelevant. Maybe afagav the itle zera, maybe even if she has children from this guy, because it's not viewed as human children in the sense that the other set is. It's as Rashi says, with like a behemoth. You know? If we're talking about Zera, that's not mityaches. So it's irrelevant to discussions of Yichus. You're telling me that she had a mutation somewhere, whatever. That's not called the Zera that we're talking about. What is so unreasonable about that? Now, the way that I presented the question obviates the problem that Tosfos has. Now, Tosfos' question is, why are we asking this? If we have the possibility of learning it out of Kula or Lachumma, so why are we saying let's be makish mishiyesh l'amon v'gerushin makula? That's not the point. The point of the Gemara is that if the whole way we're learning kitiyeh is as a definition of sets, you can't use another pasuk that continues with the same set and say, wait, but here it's coming down the other way around. I mean, why would you say that? Right, so this is what the Gemara is asking. We can continue going on. I understand the problem. Okay. Answers the Gemara, the most devastating response to this is simply that if that was the case, why does it have to say ubat? You see, the ubat is coming to tell me that even a bat Levi or a bat Yisrael, even, because a bat Kohen, we already said yesterday, is more kadosh, ever more likely. But he said, what does that mean? That means that this pusik must be coming to tell me a heter. Right? So what are you going to tell me now? If you're telling me even the, I mean, an Isser, you could have even the Bat Kohen is Mutara. So what do you need to tell me now? Oh, and also the Bat Yisrael is Mutara. Of course the Bat Yisrael is Mutara. The only way of understanding the Pasuk, if it's coming to say, and the same din would be true of a Bat Yisrael, is to say, what I've just said is an indication of a new Isser by a Kohenet. You might think it applies only to the Kohenet because of the additional Kedushas Gufa. Kamashvan Ubat Kohen to tell me even the Bat Yisrael. So then that means that the Pasuk is clearly tending in the other direction. It's telling me, a bia of an eved or of an ovik kachavim does pasul. The child will pasul, and not only by a kohenet, but even by a bat Yisrael, and even by a bat Levi. So now we understand the entire limud from beginning to end. Each thing expresses what the other one must be talking about. The only question that's left is that the whole discussion that we've had until now was based on the assumption that kitiyeh implies a chalot kiddushin. And that's how we got into this whole business, because we were concerned with the difference between karet, and this told me a lot. The thing is, though, that according to Rabbi Akiva, all of that's irrelevant. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no havaya that's possible with Yisrael Lavim either. That was the shita all along. Ein kiddushin tofsin v'chai ve'lav. In which case, kitiyeh cannot be meant the way we're reading it. Kitiyeh can't mean havaya. We're talking about psum over here. So kitiyeh would have to mean was in the physical sense. Was in the physical sense means, okay, so he's darshaning the pasuk. If she had been slept with by a pasuk, so kitiyeh le'izar, she was physically with an alien, so then he be trumat ha'kodeshim lo tocha. Good, but then if that's the case. So according to him who holds the Rebbe Akiva, Yom Kiddushin Tefsu B'chai Ve'lav, in which case, how do we explain the pasuk kitiyeh le'izar? Kitiyeh mai kitiyeh le'izar would mean simply kitiba'eh le'izar. And there's no implications here for a limitation of a set to those for whom Havaya would be possible. So then why do we need, according to him, the diuk of Almanah Grusha to stress only those with whom it's possible to have Almanut v'gerushin? According to him, we don't need that, because we had no reason to limit the set earlier either. So what's the need for Almanah Grusha? Now, as Tosis points out back at the beginning of the sugya, yesterday, still on the base, this is a rather strange question. Why we need Almanah Grusha? I mean, why do we need it to tell me what the din is? The din is that she's an Almanah Grusha. That in that case, she goes back to Beit Aviyah. So it tells us that that's true. But why do I need both Almanah Grusha? One would be sufficient. So if one tells me, if she no longer has a husband, I can extrapolate to the other one. So therefore, the question over here is, and according to Rabbi Akiva, what would be the need to say both Almanav Rushal, is the way to understand it. Rabbi Akiva's way out of this is to say not that the extra case is coming up to limit us to a set of those who are shayek to Almanut and Gerushin, but rather it's a tzrichasav. He makes a simple tzrichasav. If you'd have said Almanav, I would have thought X. And if he said it would have said Grusha, I would have thought Y. And therefore, we have to know both Almanav and Grusha. That's his approach. What is this tzrichasav? Says the Gemara like this. The Almanah part comes to be machmer on her, that even though she's only an Almanah and muteret to 99.99% of Kohanim, nonetheless, we still have to worry about this pasuk. And the Grusha, that even though she's a Grusha and Asur Lakuna, she still becomes muteret in the Achila of the Truma in the cases where Ben Yeshla, or she's Choseret or Beit Aviyah, without one. So there, that's important for us. So there's tzricha. The Yashmin and Almanah, let's say it would have said that a bat kohen titiel mana, not said the word grusha, v'zera einla. So let's say what it said. That was, well, of course, an almana, after all, I mean, left almost no impact on her. She could marry a kohen. So maybe over there, the Torah says she can go back to her father's home, because she's, in a sense, untouched. Only for kohen gadol does it make a difference, right? So over there, I understand, that chilet le'zera achla, she can go back to being a bat kohen. Mishum dechazi lekuhuna, she could go remarry a kohen now anyway. But a Grusha, who now has become psula to the kahuna, so maybe over there, afagav the letla zera, I would say, look, she can't go back to her father's home to eat truma, because she's psula mina kahuna. So maybe she's psula mina truma. Therefore, comes along the Torah to tell me that despite the fact that she is a Grusha, psula the kahuna, she can nonetheless eat truma, which is exactly the dikta we were talking about yesterday. That's the chiddush. That truma is yet a stronger indication of psul. There may be cases of kashrus, I mean, kashrus for truma, but pasas for kahuna. Okay? That's the chiddush of this pasuk. But let's say it only would have said Grusha. Yashmin and Grusha was, the case of the Grusha, she's got a problem when she's got a child left from the Yisrael that she had married. Oh, yes, indeed. But you know why? Because Mishum Delo Chazi LeKahuna, the combination is simply outrageous. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. Not only is she a Grusha, not Ruia LeKahuna, she's even got a child from this guy. Oh, that's terrible. But suppose she would be an Almana, so then she would be Ksheira LeKahuna. That's okay, not so bad, you know? So Almana the Chazal Kuna, maybe if she has a child from the Yisrael that she had married, Avagav the Yitla Zera, maybe Namitifo. Therefore, Tricha, I need both of these cases not to limit the set, but rather to tell me that Alokha would be Chal on both, because I can't get away with one of them. And after all, as Tosis explained yesterday, the only question was, why do we need both? Not why do we need either. I mean, we obviously need one. Says the Gemara, but now that we're learning that any meaning of kitiyah nivala, this is nivala l'posala. If that's the case, then why wouldn't nivala l'posala include even a magzir grushato? Let's say a guy goes, remarries his divorced wife after she went ahead and lived with somebody else, and the din is over there that kedushin are tofsin in that case, according to all. And it says beferish, as we'll see, as we saw actually, that the vlad in such a case is kosher, and she is kosher. And now, why doesn't she become posel? She was nivelas to a posel. It's posel. And according to him, we're not dealing with the havaya issue at all. So how do you explain that? That's because an ish zar means an alien. I mean, nobody, I mean, she may call him an alien, but the truth is he is her first husband. I mean, he wasn't always an alien, was he? I mean, once upon a time, she used to think he was kind of a nice guy, you know? So since the Torah says an ish zar, okay, that means he was always an alien. If you would have said Tsar, okay, right now I look at him as an alien. An Tsar refers to some existential state. I mean, this guy is from a different planet. He's an Tsar, right? Because here it was the first.
From the opposite direction.
What? Tsar is an alien. He's a little bit of a particular non-Tsar. But that refers to his condition. I mean, I have to mention he's an Tsar. Obviously, he's a Tsar. He's a Tsar. Every time we talk about it, he's a Tsar. It means his essence as a human is that he's a Tsar. So she was always a Tsar. Over here, she originally was married to him, and she didn't think of him as an alien. So Misha Tsarat Slami Ikarat, someone who in his essence is a Tsar to her, La Fukehai, Mashenkein over here, her first husband, I mean, he's not a Tsar, because at least he's not a Tsar, Slami Ikarahu. And therefore, no problem. Says the Gemara, wait, so I got another question. A Halal is certainly not a Tsar. Because a halal is allowed to marry a kohen, there's no isser in a non-kosher kohen. Just like a Yisrael, right? So if that's the case, if a halal marries a bas kohen by the same criteria of zarut that we're using as the makor of the pasvus, the kahuna, and the truma, he shouldn't pasul her. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, Yachi, Chalal, Galav Zaru, this word Mikara is ridiculous, doesn't work here at all. Chalal, who is not a Zar at all, not now and not ever, so Lo Lifso, why, according to the Diak, now that we're learning it from the Kitiel Yizar, is a Chalal Pasal, or Makra, that's because of a different Pasuk. It's indeed not because of this Pasuk. It's because the Torah says, Lo Yechalel Zaro Ba'amav, that in a case where a Kohen, indeed, so the Kohen Gadol takes an Almona, is Mechalel his children, and it compares over here, Be'amav, Zaro Be'amav, it means Makish Zaro Lo. We are now including he and his children, as if they're the same. So what it's telling me is, therefore, Mahu Posel, just like by definition, Yechalel means he creates a psul, Abzaro Nami Posel, so too will his Zera, who is a Cholo, who now sleeps with a woman, who was previously Shera Lekuhuna and Shera Letruma, he will pasel her. But Enochinami, not because of Zarut, because of Nualot. So, okay, let's go looking at that word, Kitihiyah. Ve'ima Mishat Havaya. Why don't we say that since it says Kitihiyah, and Kitihiyah in cases where Kedushin is possible, would express Kedushin. So, if, now, the way we're understanding it, Batihiyah means indeed Kedushin. So, okay, let's say you give her Kedushin, Pasal Menefuna. The Yisrael marries her, and he doesn't have to sleep with her. Apostles are minakuna permanently, not because of the current relationship. Never. That's because you're using the pasuk not to define the current relationship. You're using the pasuk to say, ever. She became psula, is what you're saying. So if that's the case, why not say that havaya itself, in cases where kedushin is tofes, would be indeed a psul immediately upon the kedushin? Well, answers the Gemara, because it has to be dunya. The Kohen Gadol be Almana. Just like a Kohen Gadol be Almana is Dafka Bevia, and we saw this because it says Lo Yechalel Zaro. The Yerushalmi was even Medayek that the Bia of a Kohen Gadol with an Almana will not even pass without ejaculation because it's Zaro, which is different than any other Bia. Okay, but meanwhile it's telling me that there needs to be at least an active Bia. So only if he's Baal is he Loka, but if he wasn't Baal, it wasn't Loka. So too, when it comes to the Almana of the Kohen Gadol, even though it's Tosfos explains. Of course, the Izar is the reference point. That's where it's all coming from. The question is, if we're saying it's a mistaber, that if the Pasuk is coming to talk about a Zar, and it hasn't defined exactly what is meant by a Zar, and it hasn't exactly defined what is meant by the idea, and it's describing a Psul of Anisha, and there is a place where the Psul of Anisha is described in detail, and that's at Almana L'Kohen Gadol, then we should use the Almana L'Kohen Gadol as a model for what Izar will pass. This is how to understand later on that this is very Nogea, the Hemshech of the Brice, and the other Sheetahs with Yossi, but which we'll talk about in a moment. So therefore, all the Sheetahs are looking to the Kohen Gadol on some level, just like an Almana L'Kohen Gadol only passes Bivya, Apainani Bivya. But wait. Maybe indeed, if we darshan havaya to mean kiddushin, maybe bia alone will not suffice the pasul. Maybe you would need to go ahead and give kiddushin, and then to consummate a marriage, which is already, a casual relationship maybe won't pasul. But a relationship of an inappropriate marriage to the Kohen Gadol, maybe that's what the Torah doesn't like. So maybe you need havaya ubia, and for all these other cases. And once again, let's take a look at Kohen Gadol Ba'almanah. Ma kohen gadol bi'albana, the halacha is that bia l'chud pasos, which we go for darshan as well from that same pasuk, the lo yechalel zaro. So too, the havaya that's mentioned in all of the other cases does not require kedushin. Afainami bevia l'chude. Okay, now Rabbi Yosi. Next, we had two other sheetahs in the braisa. We had no idea what they were talking about. They didn't seem to add anything. Rabbi Yosi Omer, this is like gufa. Getting back to the braisa, Omer Mar. You said that according to Rabbi Yossi, we need to limit the psul to only cases where koshes are o pasul posel. So if the child is pasul, then the bia pasul is the woman. But kosha in zaro pasul ain't a posel. Could you explain to me what possible nafkamina there is between the way we learned it a moment ago? My ika, bain tanakama, what difference could there possibly be between the katanakama and Rabbi Yossi? Every single case that we spoke about, the zera is pasul. I understand. So you're saying koshes are apostle. Thank you. Give me a case where the zera is impossible. Says Gemara, I'll give you a perfect case. The nafkamina, says Rabbi Yochanan, is a mitzri sheni or an adomi sheni. So you have over here a person who is a ger whose zera is kosher, he goes and illicitly marries now a Bas Yisrael. What's the din about his child? His child is kosher. We'll see later on even kosher kohuna. So if that's the case, this is not similar to the case of Kohen Gadol, where over there it says lo yachalel zaro. So therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, then this case is not included. An illicit bia is insufficient to pass a woman. It has to be an illicit bia that is dumi le Kohen Gadol, as we'll see. In this case, since the child is kosher, because the child, the Torah says dor shlishi of Oheina, so the dor shlishi of a Mitzri, third generation ger, or of an Adomia, third generation ger, is allowed to be ba'al hakal, therefore the third generation will be kosher. So curiously enough, the parent wasn't allowed to have this relationship, but the child is bedavka kosher. So therefore, tzlafuki Mitzri sheni, the ein zaro pasul, dichti bonim, asher yivaldu lehem dor shlishi, yavol lehem bekal asher, the third generation children are kosher lavo bekal. That's what he was referring to. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel continues and says yet a third shita, which again seems to simply be repetitious. Kol shatanosei bito atanosei amanato. So that's the same thing. It's exactly what Rabbi Yossi said. If the zera is kosher, so then the woman is kosher. That's what he said. What's he arguing about? Ma'ika ben Rabbi Yossi Shimon Gamliel. Amrula. Ha ha. The question is daughters. And daughters make a big difference when it comes to that big special case of Yibum, which is Dovin Amar, and Ruth, and Boaz, and Tamar, and Lot, and all of that. And that is the Din of Moaviv Lo Moaviyah. So there are cases where the bat is okay, but the male is not okay. Therefore, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, hey, forget about the cases of third generation. Any generation. You can't marry, Moavi cannot marry into the Kal. Any generation. What about the daughter of a Moavi? Can marry into the Kal. Therefore, I say to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if you can marry the daughter, forget about the child being close to the girl, you can marry the daughter. Then I'm saying, even though I'll leave it to Yossi, the child was possible, the male, but you can marry the daughter. If you can marry the daughter, then the woman doesn't become psula. Brilliant. So there are three different piskei halachas over here. According to the Tana Kama, we've been dealing with in great detail, the Izar would include any Izar. Forget about what the child is. Guess what the child is right now. The Zar will possible. The Bia is not kosher, it's illicit, it's Zar, it's alien. As long as it's Zar Mehikora, then it's not included in proper bias, and apostles are from Truma, and apostles are from the Gumina. According to Rabbi Yossi, wait, with one caveat, we'll see how we get. We don't know how he derives that yet, but we already have a hint, because we know that we have to derive the halacha from Amonel HaKohen Gadol in order to define what exactly is meant by the Zara, the Bia of the Zara. But God says, Rabbi Yossi, well, wait, it needs to be not only an illicit Bia, it needs to have an illicit product. So that if you have now a child who would not be called an illicit product because Dor Shlishi will be of Odekal Hashem, not included. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, well, go that far, but if you can marry the bat, even if the ben is not kosher, I would say even there, you would have a bia that's not called illicit enough to be zavut. It's the only case. You will never find another case that will distinguish between the ben and the bat. So therefore, we're going to see. We're getting now to the detailed machloket. So the nafkamina is ger almoni moavi kabinayos. According to Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is that the zera is pasul. In fact, that you can marry the bat, that's because the women were never usher. Nothing to do with the zera. So shneim lo lamdu elam kohen gadol almana. All of us, even the Tana Kama, use almana kohen gadol as the model for nisa. And they take it a step further than we did. We learned that from Amana Kohen Gadol also, the Inyan of Bia and so on. But they learned that even more. They say like this, look, just like a Kohen Gadol Bamana, what's the halacha of the Zara's puzzle? It says, Beferish, lo yichalel zaro, right? So it's a given, the Zara's puzzle. So in the case of the Zara's puzzle, he's posel. All cases, therefore, where the Zara is puzzle are posel. Okay? In the case of Mitzri and Adomi, we have a Sheni, Mitzri Sheni. So then the Zera is impossible. It doesn't come under this thing. Rav Shimon Gamliel Savar is taking another step. Ma'apen Golo Ba'amana Shekol Zaro Pasul. Hold on a second. What's unique about the Kohen Gadol is Lo Yichalel Zaro no matter what the sex of the child was. It'll never be kosher. So only there does it pass. So too Shekol Zaro Pasul is posel. I would say even in Ammonium Moavi, where some of the Zera is posel, but can you marry the daughter? Yes, you can. Ah. So therefore, if it's not kol zaro, because you can still marry the daughter, even though the zera would be puzzle, but kima she'in kol zaro puzzle. The omar mar, since as Boaz has taught us, amoniv alo amonit, moaviv alo moavit, therefore we know that that case is not included.
Rabbi Yossi doesn't make
that. Yes, that's going a bit too far. I mean, he does puzzle zaro, he has to puzzle kol zaro. It's included, lo yichalel.
He's learning from the same source.
True,
and
true.
You, just hope that, like,
you take a lower chiddush, perhaps. Right, in other words, the question over here is there psul or are they psul? Is there psul? Yes, there's psul. Are they psul? Not necessarily. So how do we read those words? Chalal Kemeri Kohenet. That we need another pasuk for. That's why the Gemara said he's not included in this. That's a whole special pasuk that we learn out from Zaro Ba'amav, that his Zerah and him are both the same. Well, we've been waiting a long time for this, even though Sabra Josh claims to have been here at the Siyum of the Perek and so on. I definitely didn't see him, but we'll start. Ha'ones v'amefateh v'hashoteh lo poslin v'lo ma'achilin. So in a case where someone had a relationship over here with a woman that was not through Kedushin, so let's say she was raped or he seduced her, or he's a man that cannot anyway make Kedushin because he's a shoteh. So in that case, he does not passel her, so there's no psul, but he also cannot be machil her. Meaning, of course, in a case where he's not passel to her, he's just not married to her. So she is a bas kohen, and he's a Yisrael, and so on. It makes no impact on her. Even, what's interesting is, it points out, even if you hold, according to Rabbi Elazar, that casual sex is considered to be znus, even here, says Tosfos, it's unlikely that he would call that zarut, he's an alien. The Kedushin, I mean, the intercourse may be illicit. Wait, we're going to call him an alien? I mean, he's a nice-looking guy, you know? There's no problem. There's certainly no czar. So, no, all it's just the circumstances are inappropriate, but there's certainly nothing alien about it. So we're not going to possibly, even according to Rebbe Elazar, very, very beautiful deal. In any event, obviously that's talking about where there was no psul in the actual intercourse, just that there was no Kedushin. But, in Einan Ruyin Lavo B'Yisrael, if, however, there was something wrong, or it's a mamzer or whatever, then of course they will pass. Ketzad, what do I mean? Let me explain myself now in detail. Hare Yisrael Sheba Bat Kohen. You have over here Yisrael who sleeps with a Bat Kohen but never marries her. No impact at all. She continues to eat truma the way she did before. The problem is, what if she gets pregnant? If she gets pregnant, then Ibra lo tochal betruma. If she's pregnant, she cannot eat. That's because Darshan kinu ureha. Nu'urim is without pregnancy. Like people don't come into puberty pregnant. I mean, that's the idea of nu'urim. So there the Torah disallowed her, if she's pregnant, from eating through her father. Since she wasn't married to anybody, it could be macular. So now she can't eat. But the moment, however, that the child goes away, I mean, she has an abortion, start eating right away, right? I mean, obviously, if the child was born and died, she'd be able to eat as well. But what we're saying is, I mean, I don't care if there's something in her womb, and the problem is it's the pregnancy that's the problem. You kill the uber, she's now able to eat. Hayakohen, and the other way around, would also, when we said, Harish Hayakohen, Shabal Bat Israel, he's not going to give her any truma just by sleeping with her. So lo tochal betruma, because the din of eating betruma is kinyan kaspo. I mean, there was no kinyan kaspo, because there was no kedushin, and there was no other kinyan that we could learn out from Akish kinyan kaspo. So therefore, she's not going to eat truma. How about if he makes her pregnant? If she's pregnant, she still won't eat truma. But that's not because the pregnancy is relevant. It's because it hasn't been born yet. Because remember, we have a halacha of yalid beito hu yachil vidarshin bo. That's only yalud. A yalud ma'akil. She ain't a yalud ain't no ma'akil. He's still a fetus. He can't give his mother anything to eat. But the moment he's born, here we get, things get better. At the moment he's born, he now gives his mother to eat. Yalda tochal, and this is a fascinating case, because until now, we looked at the idea of the uber as the remnant of the father. But over here, the father had no koyach to be machil, because he never married her. So nimtza kocho shel ben gadol mishelav. He's not a remnant of the father. He is feeding his mother. Directly. So yalid beito.
Not through the father.
Not through the father. He's a kohen. So as a kohen, he is a yalid, who is Yalud, and he's Yachio. So now we've gone outside of the ideas that we spoke about until now, in which the child relates to Yibum, it takes the place. Over here we have an idea of Yothakeh HaBen Mikeh HaAf.
What is the Chalo?
For what? As what? Unless it's Znus.
That's
lack of kedusha alone. Yeah, but that's we're not asking like that. So this is not a problem with Chalal.
He's a good coin.
He's a lovely fellow. Don't let your illegitimate prejudices affect that.
She made his wife. She's not in the kedusha
alone. Sorry?
She made his wife. You can just leave her.
She never was his wife.
She doesn't need to get some. You know.
Why would she need again? He never married her.
So she can go and marry somebody else, and the child reads through her.
Well, then she becomes possible. If she's a Bas Yisrael, she becomes possible. If she's not better than a Bas Kohen. We saw a Bas Yisrael who's eating truma because of her son has the same things that prevent her from eating truma than any Bas Kohen does. Whatever happens to her afterwards is looked at as if it happened to a Bat Kohen. Okay. Ha'eved, now here's an interesting case. The Eved does possibly Mishum Bia, as we saw earlier. We learned that out just yesterday. So the Eved possibly Mishum Bia, but an interesting case is that if he makes her pregnant, he does not passel because of leaving her a child. Well, how did he get her pregnant without being passeling her anyway? Through Bia. There is such a simple case. Ketzad. A Bat Yisrael goes ahead and gets married to a Kohen, right? Or a Bat Kohen goes ahead and gets married to Yisrael. The old Amen again. Now she has Zera. Now, this Ben goes ahead. Do you have any Kleenex, Brad? Tissues. You usually carry around tissues. Thank you. This Ben goes ahead and is nichbash al hashifcha. Nichbash is a nasty word that we use for nasty relationships because all it means is squished into. Now, we're not going to give this a nice term as a pleasant relationship in which they're bet for each other. It's as if he was simply squished into the shifcha. Doesn't belong with her. No. The truth is there's many wonderful remarks about nichbash. Go into a lot of philosophical issues, but you will remember that the dinner period of Arivius in terms of the Kifua. Over here, he was Havush, rather than vice versa. That's the other meaning of Nichbash. And there's also another element, which is that remember, again, in the Gemara says that the Nachash was meant to be a Shamash. But a Shamash is another word for a phallus, which is a Shamash. The Nichbash is talking about when the servant now takes over the master. So this is the way we talk about that. The Avdo. So somebody who becomes an Avdo, Achrito Yemanon Vidash, right? So the Eved is supposed to be his Yetzer Hara, was supposed to be his power of his drives or in his hands, but over here it's Nichbash by his drives. So that's a lot of beautiful, beautiful Ramazan. And so we use this word as an illicit relationship. So he goes ahead, this fellow, and he's Nichbash ala Shivcha, and he has a son, okay? Now that son is not his son, because that son is an Eved, or is an Eved. So in this case, where the Ben died, and now all that's left is his Ben, so you'll say, okay, then she still has Zera. Wrong. She doesn't have Zera. That's what we meant to say. Because in this case, the aim of Aviv, the case where the mother of the father, who we originally called the Ben, right? But the mother of the father, in the case where she was a Bat Yisrael, Lekohen, so we'll say, well, it's okay, she can keep eating Truma because she has a grandchild. And Lekohen was, a grandchild can also feed you Truma. Not in this case. She doesn't have a grandchild. No. It's not Mikachei Sacharav Kiflal. He's an Eved. An Eved is not her grandchild. How could she have an Eved as a grandchild? So therefore, she has no Zera left from her husband, the Kohen, and Lo Tuchal B'Truma. In the other case, where the grandmother was a Bat Kohen, who had gotten married to a Yisrael, she now comes back to her father's home and says, Daddy, I'm home. And who is that Eved you're toting around? Never heard of him. So she can go ahead and Tuchal B'Truma, because basically it never happened. Since he doesn't exist in terms of the Yehus, he's an Eved. On the other hand, if he's a Mamzer, then he would be both Posel, because he is Zera, who cares where he came from. And he would also be Ma'achil, because he is Zera, who cares where he comes from. He's like, wait, but if he's a Mamzer, then she was Posel because of the Bia. Aha, but not if it's his grandson. So exactly the same case. Ketzad. Bat Yisrael goes ahead and marries a Kohen, or vice versa. Bat Kohen gets married to Yisrael, okay? She has a lovely daughter, filled with the dreams of her parents, who ends up and sleeps with an Eved. Now, over here, we do not use the word Nichbeshet for some reason. Tosfos is very concerned. Why don't we say Nichbeshet? How come over here it says V'niseit le'Eved? O'lo'Eved Yochavim, where she can't be Niseit. Tema Gedela, and he leaves it open. Leaves it open. Okay. All types of discussion, whether Kivush Shayach on a woman, there's other cases. We would use a lashon of kibush. Some learn that it's only because there's a totally unproductive relationship in the case of the male, because the zeres of the tachis. We call it nichbash because we don't look at it as anything. They're stuck together physically. There's no reality to their being stuck together, which is another level of meaning. Since again, in terms of the ability, the yichus of a child is something that extends outside of the physicality of the child. Right. So too does the nichbash in human terms. We generally take two levels of meaning, at least, when it comes to all of dinim. Dinim are used to separating between actions and the significance of the action. That's throughout the Gemara. So we have a chalot, we have the maaseh, we have the chalot. Nichbash is where we've reduced things to only their physicality, which goes back again to Gan Eden pen yishlach yado v'yikach v'yitzach adim. You can't live forever by physically going through the motions. So even though on one level this bia doesn't exist, the proof that it doesn't exist is that it doesn't produce children. But that's only on one level. On the physical level, it produces children, but on the physical level, we view it only as kavush. You know, so you went ahead and you force things, but that's like a different universe. It has nothing to do with the world in which we live, where we view things as having multiple levels of existence. So we call it nichbash. In the case where the woman sleeps with an eved, since there is a relationship that can produce a child that is a Jew, we don't call it semachronim. I'm embellishing it a bit. That's true. That is very true.
Is the old French priest or press?
Press in. Nichbash is a press. Kovesh is the press.
Fish.
Fish is a press, right. So, in that case, she has a child. The child is a mamzer. Now, obviously, it's only true if you hold that an Eved and an Ovik Yechom Abobad is all about mamzer. Right? Okay. Let's take in this case, going quick on the Omar. If the child is a mamzer, so now the grandmother, depending on what the case, if it was the case where the grandmother over here, this girl's mother was a Bat Yisrael Kohen, so she comes to collect her truma. So, well, but your daughter from the Kohen died. She says, yeah, but I got my grandson. Ha! A grandson! I found mamzer! She says, so what? It's still a grandson. So I get my truma. She indeed gets her truma. On the other hand, if she was a Bat Kohen Yisrael, she comes home and says, Daddy, I'm home. He says, and who's the little mamzer? Oi, she says, it's just a mamzer. Doesn't help to say, oi, it's just a mamzer, because a mamzer indeed will possible from Achilas Truma. So therefore, in that case, the mamzer indeed is both Machil and Posel, as opposed to the Eved.
Her mamzer.
Yeah. Now, here is a brilliant case. Look at this. A Kohen Gadol, who is the most possible miyuchas of the Kohanim in terms of rights to the Kuna and Truma, sometimes the Kohen Gadol can tassel from Achilas Truma. How is that possible? Very simple. A Bat Kohen goes ahead and gets married to a Yisrael, okay? She has a son, and she has a daughter. This daughter is a perfectly kosher daughter. She goes ahead and she gets married to a Kohen. And she has a son. This son is a wonderful, wonderful Kohen. I raise a royal yos Kohen Gadol. I made umishame shagabe am his beyaz, correct? Now, his mother, who was over here a Bas Yisrael in this case, because the original Bat Kohen married the Yisrael, the Bat was a Bat Yisrael, she'll eat Truma. Why will she eat Truma? Because she married a Kohen, and she's got a child who's the Kohen Gadol, so she'll eat Truma. But the grandmother, since she has a Kohen Gadol grandson from a Yisrael, cannot eat Truma because of that lousy Kohen Gadol. So that's the Zoto merit. And this woman, I mean, you can imagine, you have to say this in Yiddish in order for it to really make sense. But Zotam had this woman's eye, nisht be mein kind, the Kohen Gadol, nisht abdir. You shouldn't have such children like my grandchild, the Kohen Gadol, this great Kohen Gadol. Everybody's talking about my son, the doctor. I can't even get Truma from this guy. So you shouldn't have children like that. Shehu poslani v'na Truma. This is a mocker to Yiddish in a Mishnah. That's the type of tone that you expect to hear clearly in Europe. Not like my son. So it must be the Ristaka, Yiddish or Mama, that goes back a long way. Not like my son. Says the Gemara, we see from here, Tanina La, the Tanur Rabbanan, this Mishnah basically backs up the Braisa that says that a Shota or a Kota that took women and died, they have no Kedushin at all. Because what it says over here is that the Shota leaves no impact on her, even though he was married to her. That's the shot that the Rabbanan did not enact a type of Kedushin for a shota, the way they did for a cherish. So that makes no impact at all. Here it's talking about a shota, as opposed to the onus of a fata, the shota actually married her, but it's the same thing as the onus of a fata. Ketzad, harei Yisrael shabal bat kohen tochal b'truma, ibra lo tochal, says the Mishnah. So wait a second over here. If she got pregnant, she wouldn't be allowed to eat. And you're saying, but, tochal b'truma. The norm would be tochal. How do you know whether she's pregnant or not? Notice, you know that she slept with this guy. You're saying, let her eat truma. She got pregnant. I mean, when do I find out she got pregnant? I found out later she got pregnant. So, I mean, how did we allow her to eat truma? What do you mean? We should say it's a suffix. She shouldn't eat truma. Well, maybe she got pregnant. So why don't we say, says the Gemara, Kivan, the Ibra lo tochal. If she was pregnant, she wouldn't be allowed to eat. So lecha shema Ibra. Why aren't we concerned? Maybe she's pregnant. Don't tell me that we're not concerned about maybe people are pregnant. I mean, this is like a whole milot nan, mafrishinotan shloshach chodashim, shemamu barotein. Don't say that maybe the only time a person is pregnant is if you have a long-term relationship, husband died, you need to know. How about that case where they mixed up the two women under the chuppah, and we need to know whether they got pregnant? They got pregnant from one act of intercourse. They had accidentally mixed up the wives one time, and we said over there, no, keep them apart 3 months, we got to know whether this is a child from that first night or not. So, I mean, obviously we are chosesh for all cases, and we should take now a 3-month break for her possibility of pregnancy. Omar Rabba Baravina, look, it's not that it's such a high percentage that we would worry about it. When it comes to Yuchas and Yuchas and Rechom, I mean, we need to know somebody's kosher, whose child he is, and so on. Over there, the chosesh. For Truma, we're not going to get all hepped up about a possibility, maybe. Just look at what's in front of you. She doesn't seem to have any reason not to eat Truma, so let her eat the Truma. What do you mean, for Truma lo chosesh? How about the case of a Rezeki Teksha'a Chakodim Lamitati? A guy goes ahead and gives a get that should be chal 1 hour before I die. From that moment on, she can't eat truma, because how do we know he's not an hour before he dies? So in that case, asura lechol b'truma miyad. Why don't we say, look, he seems to be alive and kicking. I mean, he's doing okay, you know. He's up there on the ski slopes. He's surfing. I mean, you know, the likelihood is he'll be around for another hour. Yeah, well, of course. So you see that we are chayshish, even for such a suffix. El amar rabba bar avun, you know what it is? When people are married, like the case over there where they switched wives, they thought that they were married. Over there, we're chayshish for kiddushin. When people have casual chayshish for ibur, when people have casual sex, we're not chayshish for ibur. Because as we saw earlier, they try their best not to get pregnant. So if they're over here in the case where they're casual, so we don't have to worry she got pregnant from. That's what about the rape? So we said earlier, the rape, she'll be mitapechet, she'll do her best to avoid pregnancy, it lessens the chance sufficiently to change the nature of the suffix. What about the case of the shotim? Over there, they thought they were married. She wants him. She's been sleeping with him. It's not like we're saying it's not a marriage, but it's certainly the relationship is a long-term relationship with multiple possibilities of pregnancy, and she's not attempting to take, at least doesn't seem she would be attempting to take now precautions against getting pregnant. So this is not true. She's taking precautions against getting pregnant. Because even though she's in love with the guy, she's worried, can I really handle this? And since she's worried, can I really handle this? She's going to make sure she doesn't get pregnant. The Tosus HaRosh says, however, that no, even if not, the Rabbanan did not make a nafkamina. In this case, it's something like that. They said cases where it's not marriage without kosher pregnancy. I over here, physically, we should be. It's a question of how we view the chashash. And they weren't gezer a chashash, even if in this particular case, they're having a long-term relationship. Says the Gemara, but wait, even b'nisuin, I've got a case where there were not chashash. B'nisuin mi'chashash. Rabbatana. Bat kohen sheni saitli Yisrael, umet. This Bat Kohen is married to Yisrael, not just slept with him casually, he drops dead. She goes to the mikveh and eats truma right now. Zochelet b'truma la'erev. What do you mean? Maybe she's pregnant. If she's pregnant, then she's not kinu'ureh. So she, in that case, she can't go back home. So how do we know she's not pregnant? Omer of Chista, even if she's pregnant, the first 40 days don't count. Because an uber is not an uber for 40 days, right? It's just nothing. Germ cells. Man, no soul, as the Christians would say. So in that case, what you're dealing with is just some liquid. Zeya b'almas, the Gemara says. So for 40 days, we don't have to worry about pregnancy. So tovelet vochelet, but enochinami, after 40 days, then we'd have to worry. Maybe she's pregnant because she's had a long-term relationship with this guy. The ilo ma'abra, because we're marashav. If she didn't get pregnant, she didn't conceive. Okay, so she didn't conceive. Ima'abra, she did conceive. Adarboi maya b'alma. For the first 40 days, all we're looking at is some water in her womb. Wait a minute over here. So then look at the continuation. If now it turns out that she is pregnant, so now we see that she's pregnant, now she's messed up retroactively. Messed up in one, she's going to have to pay. Because now she's a Zara, so she has to pay. But the Chomesh, the whole deal, she was eating Truma. She had a right to eat Truma. She was pregnant from Yisrael. So I thought, according to you, 40 days didn't count anyway, so she could have eaten. Yeah, that means Mikul Kelet L'Mafreya backwards up until the 40 days. That's true. Anything beyond 40 days till now. So going back till the 40-day marker, she's Mikul Kelet. So it took 3 months for us to figure out she was pregnant. So the difference between 40 days and 90 days, that she'll pay. But, Enochi Nami, for the first 40 days, why should she pay? Itma. Habala Rusato Bepet Chami. The guy sleeps with his kala in a chutzpah. In his future father-in-law's home. I mean, it's more than a kala, of course. In those days, it was kedusha. It was actually kedusha. Truth is, he's allowed to sleep with her. It's just that the chachamim say you have to have a chuppah, right? So Rav Amar Avlad Mamzer. Rav says, I mean, the truth is, the Gemara Kedusha has three ways of understanding the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. But let's just learn it kipshuto now. That Rav says, look, how do you know who got her pregnant? A girl is in her father's home. She gets pregnant, and you're saying, well, I mean, why not from her chassan? Why from her chassan? The girl's going to sleep around. She's sleeping around with anybody. There's a lot more men out there than there are chassanim out there. Therefore, the likelihood is that she's pregnant from somebody else, and he's a mamzer because she was married to another guy, and therefore, let him go and marry a mamzeret. So it would be kosher for a mamzeret. Again, not that this is the way the Gemara Kedusha comes out as the Machlokas, but let's take that as the simple approach. Not even, well, the Maisa Gemara over there says that he would hold that a Suffolk Mamzer is kosher for Mamzeres, and that it switches the shittas of Rav and Shmuel, but it's chaval to go into the detail. Shmuel, however, says, Avlat Shtuki. Look, you don't know. If you don't know, you know, every time the mother says, Shtuki. You know. So the Vlad is a Shtuki. Again, that depends how you understand the Gemara over there. A Shtuki could mean that if you ask her and she tells you it's from my chassim, so then Erchidon is kosher. If not, then if she can't tell you, then it's already a different issue. Or, again, the portion of the way of learning of Lachtuki would mean it's a suffix, we don't know. So, since we don't know, he would be usher and a mamzer also. Omar Rava, look, Mistavram Yotzi the Rav. I mean, Rav to say, it's like really bothers me. Rav is going to say the Vlad is a mamzer when she's got a chassan hanging around the house. So, Rav, I understand in a case where the daima mialma, look, I mean, there's rumors going around that this girl's got all kinds of free relationships. I mean, okay, so over there I understand. Why should we assume it's the chassan? I mean, anybody could have slept with her. But, huh? Daima is a duma de mata, rumors that go around. So, abalo daima mi alma, it's like imagination also, same root. You know, people like to talk, right? But if she's not daima mi alma, or over there, there's no chashad. It's a very nice girl. I can't believe that she got pregnant. It must have been from that nice-looking chassan she's got. So over there, in that case, Rav is going to say the Vlad is a mamzer from somebody else. It makes much more sense to say that it's from him. Lo daima di alma, bata di desha din amle. Of course, we're going to say that it's from him, and I'll prove it to you from our Mishnah, says Rav. Minah mina lala. Let me prove it to you. Diktani yolda toka. If she has now a child, she's allowed to eat truma. That's what you said, right? Ibra lo tochal b'truma, yalda tochal b'truma, despite the fact she wasn't married to the father. Father's a Kohen, she has a child. Said, how do you know whose child it is? You're assuming that because you know that she had sex with that Kohen, that this is the child. I mean, the same way she was sleeping with him and was seduced, as it said, ones mefata, she could have been seduced by another 100 people. So what makes you think that this child is a lot of a Kohen that she should be allowed to eat truma? I don't understand. Say, Echidami. Elim the daimami alma. If people are talking about her being very promiscuous, so then Yolda Michael, why in the world should she be able to eat truma when we have no idea who the father was? Elalav, the case must be that we're talking about mine daimav ala daimami alma. That the only situation that we know about that was a problem was the relationship that she had with him. So I'll make a kavachomer. In our Mishnah, she wasn't allowed to be sleeping with anybody. She wasn't married to anybody. So now we're saying, despite the fact that we know for a fact that she didn't mind too much, a little bit of illicit sex on the side, that if we know that she had a relationship with one guy, we do not assume that there were relationships with another guy. So of course she came when she's got a chassan, whom Yikra, then she's allowed to be sleeping with anyway. So she's married a heter. So you're going to say now that she was sleeping with other people? It's crazy. So from the Mishnah, you see clearly that if we know that she's got a chassan and that there was a relationship with him, we don't have to be kosher for anybody else. Otherwise, you got no way to understand the Mishnah. So ma'atam de la hayasir v'la yisra, if in a case in our Mishnah where she's not allowed to be sleeping to anybody, nonetheless, where we don't have any reason to suspect that she slept with anyone else, batra yideisha dinalei, we go with what we know. We know about this relationship. We don't know about any other relationship. We don't suspect any other relationship. So, in the case where the guy slept with her in her father's home, were over there to anyone else should be an Isra Ishis Ish. Nikoshi, she's going to be sleeping with another guy? And to this guy, she's Muteret, Laya Tera. So, Lo Koshike, now we have no reason to suspect any other relationship but to her chosin. I'm like, Abaye, look, you may be right, but you cannot prove it from the Mishnah. Because maybe Enochinami, I mean, I don't know how far Rav would go with this. Maybe Rav held that we have to be Chayesh. Because my time, the Armina mid Afra Nafshal Agabi Arus, Afra Nafshal Yama. Maybe Rav holds that people do not make distinctions about the level of illicit sex. Once they're ready to open the gate, they open it all the way. So she's willing to sleep with her cousin. She'll sleep with anybody. Maybe. I don't know. But you're asking me from the Mishnah. The Mishnah's not necessarily a question. Maybe the Mishnah's talking about where we know she's pregnant only with him. Maybe they were both in jail. Do I know? They're both in the same jail. Nobody else is allowed in. He's the only guy in the jail. Okay, so we have a laboratory case over there where she got pregnant from him. We're not interested in creating the specific case. We're coming here to discuss the theory that the Kohen, who himself cannot be Ma'achil, who leaves her with a child, the child is Ma'achil and is straight up his girl from the Yav. You want the case? I got to give you a case. They were sitting in a lab. You know, what's the difference with the cases? This is the halacha. Go bring me a writer from the Mishnah. You tell me it's impossible to conceive of such a conception. So, Mamela, that's the case. Okay, that's one approach. Now, there's a whole other lushan in this, which I think we'll wait for tomorrow.